Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope Podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church. And I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. But we're going to get into our series that we started last week. We started a series last week called Potty Mouth. And we talked about what a potty mouth is. And we gave a lot of different definitions and stuff about where potty mouth comes from. But we needed a good working definition for this series about what a potty mouth is. It's very, very important. Because what we said last week is we said our language, it has this power, right? Our language has the power to aid, heal, and encourage. It's really good. It's really helpful. But at the same time, it has an equal amount of capability and even more opportunity to destroy, hurt, and discourage. Our mouth, the words that come out of our mouth, they're a very, very powerful thing. And so we decided to go off of this working definition of what a potty mouth is. We said, this is what's going to be a potty mouth. It's going to be on the screen. A potty mouth is someone who uses language that is counteractive to the love of God. Because who really knows what is crude here? Who really knows what is, you know, improper? Who really knows what a bad word really is? It could be, you know, up to your interpretation. So we're going to go off of this. Any language that is counteractive to the love of God. Any language. And you know what? That casts a really big net. That's not just our language, but I mean, you could include our tone in this. You could include sarcasm. You could include any kind of just angry word, bitter word, slander, gossip, anything like that. You could lump all of that in to potty mouth. Any language, any kind of communication that's counteractive to the love of God. And this is so very important because it makes such a huge impact on the world. I told you last week, I really believe that if we could transform our mouth, we could transform the world because words are a powerful thing. And last week, we kind of got to the root of the problem. We talked about how our words actually come from our heart. Jesus is the one who told us this. Jesus said, all of these words, the things that come off of the tongue, out of the mouth, they come from the heart. So last week, we began by talking about how we need to clean out the infection in our heart, that these words have a source. And you can't just put another filter on. You put another filter on, it's guaranteed to come off. One night, one day, when you're too tired, when the kids are too loud, whatever it may be, that filter is going to fly off and you're just going to let it spew out. And so we've got to deal with the heart first and foremost. Now, if you're not convinced yet of why this is important, why this is a big deal, I've been doing a little bit of research. And one of the things I found is that, did you know that the average person spends 10 years of their life talking? Can you imagine that? That's just the average person. This is like my job. I probably spend like 20 years of my life talking. I don't shut up is what my wife tells me. But the average person, you spend 10 years of your life talking. That's a lot of investment in words. That's a lot of time communicating with other people. And so I want to go a little bit further. And it makes you wonder, right? Like, what are we talking about? I mean, 10 years of our life, what in the world are we, what are these conversations that we're having? And so I found actually a study that came out of a college in the West Coast, and they identified the top five things that we talk about, the top five things that are the central part of the conversations that we're having, and this is what they are. The top five talking things are themselves. You naturally like to talk about yourself more than anything else. Did you know this? This is your chance to talk about yourself. You're supposed to say, yes, I did. But we like to talk about ourselves, apparently. We like to talk about family. We like to talk about work. We like to talk about our hobbies. And then, oh yeah, baby, we like to talk about our vacations, right? Because where would we be without those? So this study kind of, you know, gives us a little bit of an idea. I asked my wife, I said, what do you think we talk about most? She said, you. I said, thanks. I really appreciate that. But I kind of looked at the themes of things we talk about, and I lumped them into three categories. I think we could take everything that we talk about, and we can lump it into one of three categories. The first one is this. The first one is productive. We can have productive conversations. Productive conversations. Things that build the kingdom. When I say productive, I just don't mean like positive. I don't just mean like they're good conversations to have. I'm talking about productive as in they build the kingdom. They build people up. They speak love. They speak into people. They encourage. And it's just all centered around the conversations that God would want us to have. We have productive conversations that are really, really good, that are important to have, life-changing conversations, transformative conversations. Those are the kind of conversations that God looks on and goes, I'm so glad you're talking about this. I'm so glad you're doing this. Right now, I think we're having a productive conversation by being here together and looking at God's word and looking at what God desires for our life, the purposes that he's building into us, right? The second one would be this. I think sometimes too, we have pointless conversations. Pointless conversations are conversations that just really don't matter, right? Like you know, what you ate for lunch? Who cares, right? It's just a pointless conversation. It's not really bad. It's not really good. It's just kind of, it's filler is what it is, right? And then two, then the last thing is this. There's poisonous conversations. Notice they all start with P, so you can remember them, all right? You don't know how long it took me in my office to come up with this. But we also have poisonous conversations, conversations that are destructive to God's kingdom. Now, poisonous conversations are really easy to identify. Poisonous conversations are when somebody gets hurt. Poisonous conversations are the exact opposite of what God's love do. Poisonous conversations have some kind of infection of the heart behind them. Anger, jealousy, greed, selfishness. There's something behind this, and we spew poison out on somebody, and it's destructive. It divides people. It chooses people to choose a side. These are the kind of conversations that tear up marriages, that end relationships, where people have to change their jobs, where gossip begins to spread. Poisonous conversations are very, very dangerous. What I want you to do is I want you to start to view your words like they're seeds. I want you to think about every word, every conversation. Every conversation is like a seed that you're planting, not only in your life, but in the life of the people who are listening to the conversation you're having. So when you think about that, and you think about it in terms of them being seeds, I want you to think about how many productive seeds you plant. How often do you have a good, productive conversation that builds the kingdom of God, that shares God's light with somebody else, that shares his love, his mercy, his grace? How often do we have productive conversations that just plant a seed in somebody's life that maybe harvests hope, that gives them encouragement, that gives them grace, that gives them confidence, that builds God's purpose and God's plan in their life? You know, two, we plant poisonous seeds sometimes. And a lot of times we think, oh, my words don't matter. You know, I need to get that off my back. I just said what I needed to say. Or, you know what, I didn't mean it. Well, you did mean it. It came from somewhere. It had a source. But so many times we plant poisonous seeds that just plant a little bit of doubt in people's minds, that really hurt people, that make people doubt themselves and think less of themselves, that take away God's value, that sometimes change somebody's view of somebody. It can hurt somebody's reputation. It can hurt somebody's impact on the world. It can plant anger in their heart, and it can begin to germinate in their own life, and then they can plant seeds of anger back at somebody else or to someone else and pass it on. But also, too, I don't want you to miss this. We also can plant pointless seeds, and that may not seem like a big deal, but pointless seeds are just almost as impactful as poisonous seeds and poisonous words. Because the thing is about pointless seeds is, imagine for a minute, a lot of you are farmers or know a farmer or dated a farmer. I don't know. Everybody's got a tractor that's sexy somewhere. But pointless seeds, imagine a farmer. I mean, we talked about the average person spends 10 years of their life talking. Imagine a farmer who spent 5 years of his life planting idle seeds that were not ever going to create anything. And they knew it. I mean, if you knew a farmer who for 5 years of their life went out and just threw out and spent time putting pointless, idle seeds out, you'd think that guy was crazy. You'd say, why did you spend so much time on pointless seeds that were idle when you could have been planting seeds that were going to create a harvest? Pointless seeds are just as important. Because how many times do we spend our opportunities to communicate to people, our opportunities to share with one another, and we make them pointless conversations? When really, it might be our opportunity to share productive conversations and productive words and help build the kingdom into somebody else. But so many times, we miss our opportunity and we spend our time just doing filler instead of doing something productive. We need to focus on our words. We need to pay attention to the conversations that we're having. The conversations that we're having do have an opportunity to impact the kingdom. They do have an opportunity many times to destroy the work of the kingdom. But then also sometimes we are just wasting our time on this earth and the opportunities and the not so many conversations that we're going to have, and we waste it. And so this morning, that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about the conversations that we're having and the conversations we need to be having, the conversations that we need to probably quit having. Because it's not productive to God's kingdom. And last week we looked at James, the brother of Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, he was probably the first New Testament writer that began to touch on our language and our words. And he said, man, let me tell you something. If you could control your mouth, you would be perfect. That's what he said. He said, if you could control this, you could navigate so well through this life. You would be perfect. It starts right here with your words. But James was not the only person that speak about the mouth. Actually, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, who planted a lot of the first century churches, he actually talked about language as well. And he said something in a verse that you've probably heard many different times in a different translation. But I love how the Message, Eugene Peterson, when he wrote the Message, it's a paraphrase of all the different translations like the NIV and the NLT of the Bible. And he wrote this paraphrase. And there is something in there that just has stuck with me for so many years. And I want to read this paraphrase to you. And this is going to be kind of our working text that we're going to go off of today. But this is what he said in Ephesians 4:29. Paul says, watch the way you talk. Pay attention to it. Don't just let it go. Don't just say whatever you want to say. Don't just say, well, those were just words, or it was just a text, or it was just an email. No, no, no. You need to pay attention to the way you talk, because your words are very powerful. And he says, let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Now, the original translation for these words is, don't let anything dead or decaying come out of your mouth. Don't let anything that's poisonous, that's destructive, that has the opportunity to poison somebody else's heart. Don't let any of that stuff come out of your mouth. Those things are no good for the kingdom. They're no good for your relationships. They're no good for your career. Just stay away from them. Pay attention to those, and don't let any of that foul or dirty stuff come out of your mouth. And instead, he says, say only what helps. Say what is productive. When you talk, this is your opportunity. So make it count. Say only what helps. Say what only shares love. Share only what shares grace. Say only what can build others up and make them know that God loves them and that can share that and have that positive impact on their life. But what I really want you to grab onto is this right here, because each word is a gift. Each word is a gift. Man, that has really stuck with me. And just as I've gotten older, it has just meant more and more and more and more to me. Because, you know, I'm a dad to a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I'm at that point, you know, like Olivia, my daughter, she turned 5 in June. And I told my wife, like, I was just kind of thinking about it and everything. And I told my wife, I said, you know, it's crazy. Like, she's 5. Like, I remember like it was yesterday when she was born, you know. And wow, 5 years of her life. And I said, you know, I told Kay, I was like, this is flying by. Like, we do this 2 more times and she's going to be like 15, and, you know, do it 1 more time, she'll be 20. And like, she'll practically be like a grown woman. Like, if this 5 years flown by, we do this a couple more times, you know, she'll be out of here. And she started to cry. I don't know why, but I told her, it's like, you know, this time it goes by so fast. And so I've realized, I only have so many summers with her. I only have so many car rides with her. And so I've consciously stopped and made sure that I have not just pointless conversations with my daughter, not poisonous conversations with my daughter, but I make sure that I have productive conversations with her where I let her know that she is loved. I let her know that God loves her and that God has plans for her and that she's going to have an impact on this world. I try so often to make sure I stop and I build her up and that she knows who she is as a child of God. We have to make sure we have those conversations. Why? Because each word is a gift. Because we only have so many opportunities to speak these kinds of things into our kids. You know, as a pastor, I've been to a lot of funerals. I've seen a lot of funerals. I've been with a lot of families as people have passed away. And let me tell you, there have been so many times where I've been there with the family, and there's always at least one. There's one family member where the last conversation they had with the deceased was a poisonous conversation. And as they sit there and as they reminisce about the last time they spoke, all that's left there is a poisonous, angry, hurtful conversation. And all they wish they could do is just have a few more words, just one more chance to heal, to bring love back into the relationship, to take those poisonous words that they said out of that infection of the heart. If they just wish they could take those back and not have said those. You know, it's a reminder to us in our relationships that we only have so many opportunities to say, I love you. Only so many opportunities to tell the people we love how important they are. You know, I also think back, I've had a lot of different jobs before I was a pastor. And I think back to a lot of the coworkers I had that didn't know Christ, that didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I might have even been the very first Christian that they ever had a friendship with. And I think back to some of those people that I used to be coworkers with, and I think back to how many times we had pointless conversations, just shooting the breeze, talking about nothing that really mattered, when really what I should have been doing is sharing my faith with those people. I think about how many people I worked with who maybe still don't know Christ today, some of them even who have passed away. And when I had the opportunity, when I had the time, to share, sow in seeds of productivity, kingdom seeds, to maybe share my faith, to maybe share the gospel with them, to share how God has loved me and how much God loves them. I had those opportunities, but instead, because I was afraid, because I didn't know what people would think of me, I just took that time, that opportunity to share idle seeds, to have pointless conversations. I mean, I've had coworkers like that. I've had friends like that where it never got brought up. Which really means I never brought it up because I never took the time to take their eternity seriously and their relationship that they could have with God. How many times did we just have pointless conversations when really we should be having something different? Each word is a gift. Each word is a gift. Every conversation is a gift. Nothing is guaranteed. Let that just sink in for a minute. I mean, if each word is a gift, if we're only given so many, and if this time on this earth really flies by as fast as it feels, then we need to take every opportunity we can to have the right conversations. We can't waste a single word. We have to monitor the way we're talking. We have to look at the conversations we're having. We have to ask ourselves, you know what, if I drew a pie graph and I said how much of the conversations I'm having are productive, how many of them are pointless, how many of them are poisonous, what would your pie graph look like? What are the majority of conversations that you're having? Because God has given you this great gift. God has given you this opportunity, these places for you to speak into people's lives. It's very, very powerful. And it can do your words. God can give you the words and it can do great things. But how many times do we let those opportunities slip? And how many times, instead of doing God's will, do we do what we want to do? And instead of sharing anything that is reminiscent of God's love, we share poison with people. We hurt people. We let what's inside our heart just kind of spew out, and it does devastation to our relationships and other people's lives. We have to pay attention to the way that we talk. So this morning, I want to give you two things, two tips, two action steps that you can begin to take. And I don't know why this happened. This is just what happened, okay? I'm a little sleep deprived this week. It's going to be in the illustration of a firearm, okay? So this practical application, it goes with a firearm. Only in Troy, Missouri are you getting this kind of preaching where the pastor gives you a firearm illustration that's a spiritual illustration, okay? So this is my firearm word illustration here, okay? So the first thing is this. You need to conserve your ammo. You like that? Conserve your ammo. Because here's the thing. Some of you guys are a fully automatic AK-47, and you just, with your words, just, okay? You are like Al Pacino, and you just walk home, you walk to work, and you're like, say hello to my little friend, all right? And you just unload, right? That's even the terms that we put it in. That's how I came up with this. It's because how many times do we say that? I just unloaded on them. I just needed to unload. That's what we do. We unload on people with our words. We don't think about what's coming out. We are not conservative at all. We just put our finger on the trigger, and what is in just comes out. We let it all come out, and we need to stop doing that. We need to conserve our ammunition. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he gave us this proverb, and this is what he told us in this proverb. He said, "Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble." Solomon knew. Solomon said, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason, okay? You need to stop because this gets you in so much trouble. If you would just watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, it would keep you out of so much trouble. We need to treat our words as if they are in short supply. We need to conserve our ammo. We need to hold back. We cannot afford to unload on people. We can't do that. It always causes a disaster. Let me give you some professional advice. This advice was given to me about a year or a year and a half ago, and it has saved me. It has kept me out of so much trouble. Do you ever get an email or a text, or you find out somebody just did a bonehead move? Maybe it's somebody on your team, is somebody in your family, is somebody at work. They just made a stupid error, or they shoot off an email to you, and oh man, what is it? It just stirs up in you. You just go, Jamie did it again. My goodness, this woman, what is her problem? You know, was this guy, what's his problem? You know, and it stirs up all these emotions. And what do? As soon as you read the email, you are hot, you are angry, your emotions are high. So what do? Reply back, right? And here it comes, right? You reply back as fast as you can. You text back as fast as you can. You call them and go, man, I just found out what you did. What in the world? Let me give you a piece of my mind. Here's the thing. We need to conserve our ammo. This professionally has helped me so very much. You need to wait. My rule that was given to me that I think is just genius is when you have those conversations, when you get those emails, when you get those texts, we are so quick to reply. We are so quick to fire back. But what we ought to do is we ought to wait 24 hours to respond. Give it a night. Give it a sleep. Give it some time. You're hot. Your tempers are high. The temperature, it is up there. Your energy, your emotions, it's all there. And you're not even fully processing what happened. You've just picked apart this email, picked apart what they did wrong, and you are just going to go fix it right now. You're going to get them straight. You need to not do that. Conserve your ammo. Because the chances are is that when you reply back, when you text back, when you go and you go to ring them out, you're going to unload on them, right? How many times have we responded with stupidity, with anger, or anger with anger, or just ugliness with ugliness? And we go and we unload. You need to not do it. You need to wait 24 hours before you respond to that email. You need to wait 24 hours to respond to that text. You need to wait 24 hours before you have to call that person in your office and you need to have a conversation with them, because you need to make sure it's going to be a productive conversation, a healthy conversation. Don't do that. If that's with your, not even just with your coworkers, but with your spouse, when you read that credit card bill or you get that text and your husband or your wife, they did something really, really bad, something that you need to have a conversation about, but your emotions are high and you just feel that infection of the heart start to bubble up, you need to wait. You need to conserve your ammo. We've all heard this before. Don't go to bed angry. Now, here's the thing. This is me. I preach against that, okay? If you ever do marriage counseling with me, if you ever do premarital counseling with me, I tell people all the time, go to bed angry. Please go to bed angry. Don't stay up all night fighting this out until one of you gets knocked out. That's what happens, right? We've taken that advice, don't go to bed angry. And what we've said is, it's midnight, but this ain't over yet. We're not going to bed. No one's going to bed until one of us has won this the battle, right? Don't do that. And I know there's even a verse that says that, don't go to bed angry. But here's, we've really taken that verse and we've twisted it. What it means is, if you're angry, you need to let it go before you go to sleep. It doesn't mean have a cage match with your spouse before you go to bed. Here's the thing, go to bed angry. Conserve your ammo. Go to sleep. Settle down. Calm down. Because the chances are tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and realize that what you were about to say, those poisonous words that were going to come out of your mouth, were going to do more harm than good. Too many times we run into battle with one another and we share poisonous words, poisonous conversations, that if we would have just waited, if we just would have conserved our ammo, if we would have just been conscious of what was about to come out, how we were about to speak to each other, and just instead of talking, shut our mouths, we would have kept ourselves out of a whole lot of trouble. You know, the same thing comes with these great devices that allow us to text. Please stop having text fights. Please, please, people, stop having text fights, okay? Because here's what happens. You find out something needs to be resolved. You guys are having a fight. Somebody did something stupid, idiotic, something you disagree with or something else. And so what do? You get out your phone. Nobody's looking right now. And you just like, I got 15 seconds before Cheryl comes around the corner. I'm going to get this all out. And so you unload as fast as you can. Then you send the text and you put your phone away because it's not, you know, very productive and good to have your phone out at work. And so then you hide your phone, right? And then your spouse reads the text message and you just unload it on them and they have 15 seconds and they unload back at you. And that's all you do, right? And you're in this mode at your work, at your desk, where you're distracted because you're reading these text messages, which means you're probably not reading them clearly. You're probably not reading them maybe how they were, you know, actually written. And so then you're distracted between work and this, and you're having this terrible, poisonous conversation via text. And we all know that awkward moment when you get home and you finally see each other, and you're like, wow, we said some really bad stuff. And now it's been digitally copied onto our phones, right? Don't do that. Conserve your words. Say, you know what? Let's talk about this at home. Let's talk about this later. Let's wait till we can see each other face to face. You know what? I can't talk about this right now because my emotions are a little high. Let's wait until this can be a productive conversation. There would be so much help if we would just take a time out, if we would conserve our ammo, if we would just be so much more careful about the things that we let slip out. We cannot afford to unload on one another because nothing comes good of that. It just becomes poisonous. And the second thing is this. We need to aim carefully. Instead of running around unloading on people, we need to be a sniper. We need to be strategic and know what we're aiming at and know what we're doing. We need to know the impact that we're going to have. You got to stop before everything you say, because so many times you just go, I just need to say this. Do you really need to just say this? I just need to say this. No, you don't. If what you're about to say is going to have a poisonous impact on the person that you're saying it to, maybe it's not what you need to say. If what you're about to say is just pointless, maybe it needs to be something productive. We've got to look at our words, look at the things that we are firing off to one another, and make sure they are in line with how God would want us to speak to one another, because every single word has an impact. Later on in that same chapter, when Paul talks in Ephesians, he says this. He says, though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better use for their language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Some of us, we love to unload. We love to just say whatever's there, but it has an impact on people's lives. And we can't afford to do that. We have to aim carefully. And what Paul says is, you know, everybody else can do what they want, but followers of Jesus, that's not our style. We don't use that kind of language. We don't get to just shoot off whatever word we want to say. We don't get to just unload on people. We don't get to talk dirty or silly, which that doesn't mean what you think. If you're married, you can talk dirty or silly all you want. But just don't talk poisonous to one another, because that's not the kind, that kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Love is our dialect. Grace is our dialect. If it doesn't fit within this, then it's something that we shouldn't share. And we as Christians, we especially can't afford that, because how often do the culture hold us accountable for our words, for the things that we say? We have to watch the way that we talk. Christians, we can't afford to unload on people. And if you're not a Christian, I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to tell you, here's the thing. When you unload, when you aren't careful with your words, how often does it get us in trouble? How often does that poison come back to bite us? I told you last week I'm going to start sharing this every week, but there's some further ride home questions that I want you to discuss with somebody, that I want you to think about. And the two questions I have for you this, are the majority of my conversations productive, poisonous, or pointless? I want you to seriously think about this and spend some time this week taking account of your words. The conversations that you're having, are you having productive conversations? Is there somebody that maybe God is pushing you to be productive with, to share God's kingdom with, to build somebody up, to share God's grace and mercies, maybe even to share your faith story with? Are you having those productive conversations? Because every word is a gift. These are opportunities that we're missing. And where are we having these poisonous conversations at? You know, these people that we're fighting with, these people that we're talking in ways that we shouldn't, because it does nothing but destructiveness to God's kingdom, God's work. It does nothing good for anybody else. But then too, where are we having pointless conversations? Are there people around us where we're just missing our chance to have an impact on their life? And with whom do I need to conserve my ammo and aim more carefully with? Is there anybody right now that you're currently maybe having a battle with, where you're in conflict with them, and every time you guys talk to each other, every time you have a conversation, it's poisonous, it's nasty, it's bad? Maybe what we ought to do in that situation is conserve our ammo. You know what? Maybe we just need to take a break. Maybe we need to be way more careful, say a whole lot less, and aim very, very carefully, and make sure that everything that comes out of our mouth is in God's will, is something that God would want us to say to them. Because words are a very, very powerful thing. I want to pray for you this morning, and I want to pray for you as you go out of those doors this week and you start to talk. The conversations that you're going to have, the conversations you're going to have with your spouse, the conversations you're going to have with your kids. I hope that as you go home today, that you have a productive conversation with your family. But then also, as you go out this weekend, you go into work and stuff, and as things start to happen, and all of those temptations of the heart, all of those infections of the heart that can come up, they start to create problems for us. I pray that you would just let God deal with those heart problems, that like we said last week, you would just let God clean you from the inside out, because our words, they matter most. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? God, as we come to you today, as we talk about our language and the words that come out, God, I pray that we would speak in a productive manner, that we would build your kingdom, that God, you would make us aware right now of maybe some of the poisonous conversations we're having, maybe some of the poisonous words that we're sharing with one another. God, would you make us aware of that? And God, would you forgive us of those times where we've had poisonous conversations, where we haven't represented you well. God, as believers, as Christians, that God, if we claim to follow you and be a child of God, that kind of language, it does not fit in our vocabulary. It's something that we shouldn't share. It's something we shouldn't share with our kids. It's something we shouldn't share with our spouse. It's nothing that we should share with our coworkers or the people that we encounter on a daily basis. God, you want us to build your kingdom, and our words, they play such an important part in that. So God, would you help us to clean ourselves and to rid ourselves of the poisonous language? But God, would you also too make us aware of the areas in our life where we're speaking pointless conversations, where, God, we're missing our moment. We're missing our opportunity to have an impact on somebody else's life. Would you help us to treat every word like a gift? Every single word that we say, every text message, every email, God, would you help us to treat all of it as a gift, as if it's precious, God? God, I believe that if you would change our hearts, you could change our mouths. And our mouths have the ability to change the world. So I pray that you would do that for us and in us, God. In your name we pray, amen. We're going to sing one last song together this morning. I want you guys to stand. And as we sing, I want you to just spend some time worshiping God. And as you leave here today, that you have a go out and have a productive conversation this week, that you let the things that we've talked about this morning change you and transform you with God's help.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'd love it if you'd help us out by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Also, join us at our physical location in Troy, Missouri at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.